Think about this for a second. An American city under cyber attack stopped in its tracks. Sounds like something out of the movies, right? Think Die Hard 6 or something like that.
Shall we play a game?
Oh.
But just last week, the real-life, actual city of Atlanta was taken offline. It was held hostage. The city's computers were hit by the type of cyber attack that's known as ransomware. But as Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottom says,
this is much bigger than a ransomware attack. This really is an attack on our government, which means it's an attack on all of us.
These attacks lock users out of computers until a ransom is paid. In this case, the hackers are asking for about $51,000. And while some municipal systems in Atlanta are just coming back online this week, these types of attacks are becoming increasingly common. This is because hackers know cities across the U.S. rely on digital networks to take care of everyday business. And that's where we start today. I'm Duarte Geraldino, and this is The Takeaway. Ian Bogost is here. He's professor at Georgia Tech and a contributing editor at The Atlantic. Hey, Ian.
Hello.
So, Ian, what exactly happened in Atlanta over the past week?
So this ransomware attack began last Thursday. The group responsible is known as SamSam, and they very frequently execute these attacks. They've collected almost $1 million in ransomware collections just this year. The systems that were attacked, it's still exactly unclear how they got in. Sometimes this happens through incursions into the system. Sometimes it's like a phishing attack, you know, when you get an email and click a link that appears to go somewhere but actually goes somewhere different and downloads software onto a system. And then once the malware is installed, and it could have happened months and months ago, then it can spread within those systems until the hackers turn it on, so to speak.
This is how it happens, and they have already collected about $1 million through various attacks so far. Is this what you're telling me?
Yeah, and it's not just governments. Obviously, governments are what we're thinking about this week, especially in Atlanta. But health organizations, educational organizations, corporations, all of them, anybody who uses a computer network and might have the money to pay a ransom is at risk of these attacks.
So how is the city doing now? What is Atlanta doing to get things back online?
Well, sometimes it's unclear exactly what's going on from a citizen's perspective. Many of the systems that you would ordinarily use to do daily business with the city are unavailable. So if you want to pay your utility bill, your water bill, can't do that right now. The municipal courts have been the most affected. They're completely offline. They can't process warrants or tickets. They're conducting all their business with pen and paper this week. It's the little things, really, that I've noticed. I tried to park at the airport, and while I could park there, I couldn't get my receipt out of the online system. You know, one of the things about infrastructure, and this is an infrastructural attack, is infrastructure kind of disappears into the background. You don't notice it until it doesn't work anymore. And it just turns out that more and more of us rely on computers for infrastructure to conduct our daily business.
And you don't know you need it until it's gone. Now, I want to bring in someone else who knows what Atlanta is going through. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings is also with us. Mayor Rawlings, remind us what happened in Dallas in April of 2017.
Hello, Duarte. We had those same sort of attacks. We've had two instances, one which was in 17, where someone was just rejiggered the siren system, and it was a low-tech issue that sent the sirens off all night. And everybody said, all right, we're under attack, if you will. In fact, it was old technology that could be easily rooted around, and as I said, with low technology.
And these are the storm sirens, right? These are
storm, tornado sirens. I got calls all night. I was out of town. What's happening to our city? And then this spring, we had attacks from offshore, okay, that was much like this, and we were able to stop them very quickly, call in the FBI and find out where that was, and we have been able to improve our system. Look, you've got to always be one step ahead of the bad actors, so you're running pretty fast.
It seems like everyone's running pretty fast at this point. So you said you improved the system. At the time of the attack, how prepared was the city for any sort of cyber attack?
Well, obviously, we weren't prepared for no incursion, but we were pleased that we were prepared to stop it early in the process, so we didn't shut down all the systems. It came to us a little bit, and we were able to, as I said, plug the dike, if you would.
Plug the dike. Ian, I want to go back to you for a second, because in The Atlantic, you write that these types of attacks are becoming more common, almost mundane. Why would you say that?
Well, so much of what we do with computers, and so many of the things that we do with computers involve information, personal information, critical systems that we've connected to the internet. And once you connect computers to the internet, you effectively connect them to all the other computers in the world, including those of these hackers. So you think about something like the Equifax breach last year, or what we're currently thinking about with respect to Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, or even just the kind of ordinary problems you face with your machine when it gets a virus or something like that. Our expectations in some way have changed, and we know that we like to use computers and they make certain things easier, but they also are more subject to these kinds of flaws and faults.
So what should cities be doing around the country to better prepare for this, Ian?
Well, certainly they should take their audits seriously and consider increasing their security, their attention to these kinds of attacks. There was an audit conducted last year in the city of Atlanta, which appears to have shown that the city was at risk. You know, there's only so much you can do, but certainly increasing security is one thing. I mean, if you leave it up to corporate IT folk, they'd tell you don't do anything, sort of like lawyers sometimes tell you that, and that's not viable either. One thing that I'm thinking about a bit is so-called smart cities technology, so connecting more city infrastructure to the internet. This might be something that cities want to reconsider or at least pull back on until they've kind of figured out what the implications might be. My understanding of the situation in Dallas last year was that emergency sirens, like tornado sirens, were one of the elements that the hackers got control of and could set off. And that's certainly the kind of thing that you don't want to happen. You know, traffic control systems, transit systems, all of those kinds of systems that are being sold to consumers and to municipalities as the future of an internet connected life in an urban environment. That might be something worth taking a second look at. Another thing that's worth knowing about is that there are insurance providers now that cover this kind of attack. You can get cyber insurance that might pay off the ransom or might pay for consultants. And this is, apparently a part of everyday life for governments and for businesses as well.
So now there's cyber insurance in order to pay off ransoms. Mayor Rawlings, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms said that the city's cybersecurity was not a priority before the attack. Was that the case in Dallas?
Well, I think we have priorities in different areas, and making sure everything gets up to snuff is what's important. In the case of our siren issue, it was older technology that had not been replaced, and so we had to replace that. So you've got to, on all fronts, deal with this because, citizens are wanting smart cities. I mean, this is the big thing. Citizens understand that technology is there. They want to make it easy, and they want public safety. They want to be safe on all aspects, and technology is part of that. So I don't think we can let up on pushing for citizen interaction and transparency. What we have to do is figure out how to spend money correctly. We have to get aligned at the federal level because we're not. We need to get DHS and DOJ to take this seriously. We've got to have a culture of vigilance on this, and this isn't going to change, but we got to keep pushing forward.
So you say you have to get aligned on a federal level because it's not. Can you explore that a little bit more? What is the holdup? What do you think that the federal government is doing that is handicapping the local response?
Well, I think the feds look at the borders and say our job is to keep those safe. So let's go spend billions of dollars on a wall or spend money in Asia to kind of prop up police cities and to make sure they're safe for our folks. But they're not looking at cities. that we do not have a conversation at the city level about what is necessary to keep our citizens safe. They delegate that to the cities, underfund those sort of things, and then talk strong about these issues as if it's important for Americans, but we're not doing anything at that local level. I experienced that when we faced Ebola some years ago, and everybody is an expert, but nobody really knows how to protect, whether it's on a disease level or a cybersecurity level. These things, as we see with guns, everybody talks, but there's no action.
Ian, I want to turn back to Atlanta in this case, because this was a ransomware attack. Do we know if there was any payment made?
The deadline was Wednesday, and as I entered the studio today, I had not yet heard whether or not the payment was made. The city was going back and forth about what they were going to do. There was some confusion about whether it was even possible, some sort of technical issue with the portal where they were supposed to reach the hackers. So as I sit here talking to you right now, I don't know. And even if the payment is made, it may take some time before the systems come back online, before the computers are released, and before the whole thing gets cleaned up.
And exactly how much were they looking for? $51,000? Is that right?
Yes, 6 bitcoins, which is about $51,000 at current rates.
How do they come up with that particular figure?
Well, you know, they're looking for a figure that the city is likely to pay, but also that's meaningful enough to justify the work.
Thank you very much, Ian Bogost, professor at Georgia Tech, and Mayor Mike Rawlings of Dallas. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.